Abram, there's no way around it. Today, I'm going to say something nice about you, and you're just going to have to accept it. Can you do that for me?
It doesn't matter whether or not I'm uncomfortable.
It doesn't matter, but I
It
just
doesn't
want you to
matter.
soak it in.
Okay, just soak it in. All right, I'll try.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly
Well,
what it
welcome to the Radical
appears.
Bureaucrat, Season
There's a
3,
hidden
Episode 3. We are talking about Palestine, and this week is going to be a little bit different for some reasons that Sam is going to explain.
Yeah, so if you've listened to our first two episodes of this series, you can hear, especially in the second episode, that we really were struggling with what to say about this. We knew that there's something happening here around Israel and Palestine that is hard for us to talk about. And we felt like this was the space we wanted to use to talk about it. And yet, here we were talking about it, and I don't know, it was like we weren't really saying something that, or, and words weren't enough. And I think I said something to that effect on episode two, like words are just not enough right now. And without me knowing it, Abram took that idea and just ran with it. And he created something really, really special and really, really beautiful. And he took really this gap where words weren't enough. And instead of words, he used music and he used art and he used other people's voices who are much more powerful than our own. So, listeners, I really, with all of my heart, think that you're in for a treat with what Abram created. And so, Abram, you really outdid yourself, man.
Well, thanks, Sam. I'm really glad that it meant something in that way. And I think it's important when we feel shut down, like we don't know what to say, we don't know what to do. I think making something is one of the most important next steps we can take. Dr. King talks about this. He talks about channeling righteous anger into creative organizing. Toni Morrison talks about how artists are made for times such as these when silence, is there's no room for silence. Something needs to be said, but we don't know what to say. That's what art is for. And so hopefully you guys feel about it the way Sam did when he heard it for the first time. And hopefully you think about what can I make? What can I make in this moment that will help me to express what is going on?
Yeah. And I agree. I wish I could make what Abram made, but here's a teaser. I can't sing like him. Abram, you got a beautiful voice and you all are going to hear it. And I will say this, we don't want to talk a lot. I don't want to talk a lot because I really want the piece to stand alone, but we considered in this piece debriefing afterwards in this episode. And talking about some of what we heard and some of the clips that Abram chose for it. And then I suggested let's let it stand alone, right? We don't need to say anything else. So I think without further ado, we're just gonna go right in. And as always, we would love to hear your feedback. We would love to
Yes.
hear your thoughts. Please do tell us what you think. Email us at info@radicalbureaucrat.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Absolutely. We are listening. Actually, some of the feedback we got over the last few weeks was sort of why we did it this way this week. But without further ado, here it is.
Mm-hmm.
Civil defense workers in Gaza have now recovered at least 310 bodies buried in a mass grave at the Nasser Medical Complex in the southern Gaza city of Khan Yunis. Earlier today, UN Human Rights Chief Volker Turk said he was horrified by the mass grave, which was found 2 weeks after Israeli forces ended their siege on the hospital. Some of the bodies found had their hands tied behind their backs. Today marks 200 days since Israel launched its assault on Gaza. On Monday, the UN Special Rapporteur on the Right to Health, Tlaleng Mofokeng, warned the impact of the Israeli war will be felt for generations.
Mental health, intergenerational trauma, the kinds of acute assistance, medical debriefing, psychological debriefing that many children still have not received is of serious concern. And often, of course, we see the physical injury, and because it's physical, one can appreciate the severity of it. But the acute mental distress that will then turn into anxiety and other kinds of mental illnesses later on in life is really, really important to start thinking intentionally about.
An independent UN commission says Israel's offered no evidence to back up its allegations that employees of the UN aid agency UNRWA participated in the October 7th attacks by Hamas. Allegations by Israel led many countries to temporarily cut off funding just as the humanitarian crisis was intensifying in Gaza. U.S. lawmakers have banned UNRWA funding for the next year.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me that I got to beware. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Honorable Chairperson, I was taught when I was very young that insults are the last refuge of a scoundrel. And so calling me a terrorist, friend of Hamas, etc., is like water off a duck's back, because it's an absolute untruth and is a mere insult of a scoundrel who has run out of ideals. It has been clear in all our contributions that we support a two-state solution. The rights of Palestinian people are infringed on a daily basis. The Honorable Legota was reported in a Jerusalem newspaper as saying there is no apartheid in Israel. People ride on buses together. He forgot to say that Palestinians are forced to live in small enclaves. They are not allowed to own their own property. Their land can be seized without any compensation. And they have to carry identity documents, go through a range of points where their identity is constantly checked. In sum, they exist in an apartheid state. So, Chairperson, attempts to cast aspersions will not cause us to fail to speak for the oppressed, wherever they may be. The atrocities we've reported upon in this debate are real, and they're acknowledged by millions. The fake news of baby beheadings have been tried by the greatest in world power and have been proven to be false social media reports. And for such to be reported in this house as though it is factual is absolutely disgusting lies. The bombing of hospitals, which was denied, has been proven to be real.
Minister.
Thank you.
Please take your seat. There's a point of order request.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Is the Honorable Minister prepared to take a question?
You can take your seat, Honorable Minister. Honourable Dr. Mulder.
I've asked, is the Honourable Minister prepared to take a question?
Honourable Minister, are you prepared to take a question from the Honourable Mulder?
The Honourable Member can pose it.
Allow.
Did I hear you correctly saying that the atrocities that we are speaking about, the beheading of children, that those are fake news, that it's not true? Is that the position of the South African government? I want to ask you now.
Yeah.
No, it is evidence that has been provided by a range of non-governmental organizations, both in Israel and Palestine, because we don't only speak to Palestinians, we speak to peace-loving Israelis as well. And we know that there's a lot of fake news that attempts to cast Palestinians in a bad light. And it has been admitted, even from the White House spokesperson, that that statement that was made at the highest level was actually proven not to be factual. So, Honourable Member, I've responded to your question. And it's important, as I said at the start of my contribution, that when we speak on these matters, let us speak being honest and factual. The facts are the people of Palestine are denied the right to exist as human beings. They're denied the right to enjoy the freedoms and the rights we so love as South Africans, the rights and freedoms we fought so hard for, the rights and freedoms we united on as a diverse South African people. Today, some of us in this house believe these rights belong to some and not to others. That is not the South African way. We believe all human beings enjoy the right to exist in freedom, enjoying justice and humanity. And that is the message that has to come out of this house. This house cannot stand up for abuse, cannot stand up for the infringement of other human beings, no matter who those human beings are. We've never sought retribution. I have the story of my grandfather died of a broken heart. He was a tailor and he had worked very hard, his fingers down to the skin, to make enough money to buy a house in Durban. And they got that house, my grandfather and my grandmother. 2 years after they got it, the area was declared a white area. They lost that house without compensation. And he essentially died of a broken heart. I have no retribution, because today I'm part of seeking to build a better South Africa. And our role must be to seek to build a better world. That benefit we enjoy of human rights, of a fantastic constitution, of having institutions that are democratic and work for all of us, that privilege is not just for us. It must be for everyone. And in any debate we have, if we are true to ourselves, if we are true to our history, if we are true to what we've achieved, we will stand up and say what is being done to the people of Palestine is wrong, is intolerable, and we will not pretend to accept it. I thank you, Chairperson.
There's battle lines being drawn, and nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. I think it's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Why does the United States support Israel? Well, there's a history, and a very interesting one, that actually goes back a long time. One thing to remember is that Christian Zionism is a very powerful force, which goes back long before Jewish Zionism. In England, particularly, Christian Zionism was a powerful force among British elites. It's part of the motivation for the Balfour Declaration and for Britain's support for Jewish colonization of Israel. Remember, the Bible said, and that's a big part of British elite culture. Same in the United States. Woodrow Wilson was a devout Christian who read the Bible every day. So did Harry Truman. In the Roosevelt administration, one of the leading officials, Harold Ickes, once described the return of the Jews to Palestine as the greatest event in history. It's realizing the lesson of the Bible. These are deeply religious countries in which the biblical commands, so-called, are taken quite literally. Also, this is just part of colonization. This is the last phase of European colonization. Settler colonial societies in which the settlers came in essentially eliminated the native population, also driven by religious principles, very religious groups driven by Christian Zionism. Those are major cultural factors. There are also significant geostrategic factors. And you go back to 1948, there was actually a split between the State Department and the Pentagon in the United States over how to react to the new state of Israel. The State Department was not committed strongly to Israeli conquests, the establishment of the state, and was concerned about the refugees. It wanted an implementation of the refugee problem. The Pentagon, on the other hand, was very impressed with Israel's military potential. Israel performed a major service to the United States by destroying a secular Arab nationalism, a major enemy of the United States, and supporting radical Islam, which the U.S. supported. And it continues right until the present. Right now, we saw an example of that. At one point, Israel began to run out of munitions during the assault, despite the fact that it's armed to the teeth. The United States provided Israel with additional munitions through the Pentagon. And notice where they were taken from. These were U.S. munitions pre-positioned in Israel for eventual use by U.S. forces. The tendency of the intellectual community to go along like a herd in support of state power, private power, is just overwhelming. Intellectuals like to think of themselves as dissident, critical, courageous, standing up against power. Absolutely untrue. You look at the historical record, that's a small fringe, and they're usually punished. The mainstream tends to be what was once called a herd of independent minds, marching in support of state power. Nothing new here. Unfortunate, you have to fight against it, not new.
What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in that street, all singing songs and a carrying sign, mostly saying hooray for my side. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look.
Streets, which will be happening on the second night of Passover, which is a holiday we observe every year that is all about liberation and how our liberations are intertwined with one another, is coming just hours ahead of a likely Senate vote on $14 billion in military funding and weapons to Israel. So we're here to tell Senator Schumer that this is enough and we need to end U.S. complicity in Israel's genocide against Palestinians. And at the core of the Passover story is that we cannot be free until all people are free. And right now, what we're seeing is that the Israeli government and the United States government are carrying out a genocide of Palestinians in Gaza, over 34,000 people killed in 6 months, in the name of Jewish safety, in the false name of Jewish freedom. This genocide, because our liberation is tied together with Palestinian liberation. And honestly, watching young Jews get arrested alongside Jewish elders saying, not in our name, as we have been for 6 months. And the Senate is still about to pass this massive funding package.
As award-winning author and activist Naomi Klein, this is some of what she had to say.
My friends, I've been thinking about Moses and his rage when he came down from the mount to find the Israelites worshiping a golden calf. The eco-feminist in me has always been uneasy about this story. What kind of God is jealous of animals? What kind of God wants to hoard all the sacredness of the earth for himself? But there is, of course, a less literal way of understanding this story. It is a lesson about false idols, about the human tendency to worship the profane and shiny, to look to the small and material rather than the large and transcendent. What I want to say to you this evening at this revolutionary and historic Seder in the streets is that too many of our people are worshiping a false idol once again. They are enraptured by it, they are drunk on it, they are profaned by it, and that false idol is called Zionism.
Paranoia strikes deep and into your life it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid that if you step out of line, men gon' come and take you away. But we better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Stop. Hey, what's that sound?
But there's a lot of work to be done. We are a small organization, and right now we are in the middle of this a story that we wish we were not part of. We are an organization that we want to go to difficult places and bring food to people and bring joy to people. Because people, when it's about food and water, they need you today. So for me, I think the grief is going on, especially the members I knew closely. So me, I spent a lot of time with her in missions. She was always a joy and was a very beloved member of the community. She's like a sister. Damien, who was a newest member, and so this hits home because that's people I serve next to, and they're the example of who we are, and that they putting themselves in harm's way to try to bring hope and smiles to others.
You wrote a very emotional tweet this week about Zomi, saying, I wish I never founded your organization. You would be alive somewhere today, smiling and making somebody somewhere feel like they were the most beloved person in the world. You said you wish you'd never founded Central Kitchen.
You know, I will forever have to live with this, as well as the families and all the members of World Central Kitchen. I founded it with one very simple idea. Can we provide food and water quicker than anybody else? Obviously, something like this makes you think. We did what we did because it's a lot of people that are always forgotten, people that are always voiceless. I know very often is many people that joined the organization because they saw me doing the work before. And this began being an organization of one that became an organization of millions. And we tried to minimize the risks. Who was going to tell me the day we were kind of celebrating that we had armored vehicles? Finally, armored vehicles that were very well marked, that we were doing the right protocols, that we were engaging with the IDF in the way we all should be doing. Like every new minute, everybody knew where everybody was.
They say that their drone video, and this has not been verified, this video, that they say shows Hamas operatives, and they thought they one fired from an aid truck.
Every time something happens, we cannot just be bringing Hamas into the equation. I think IDF knows better than anybody that can be a better army. It should be protocols, should be rules of engagement, that somebody has to be making sure that they happen in a war zone. It's way too many cases now of humanitarians dying. Many civilians, women, children, that the only thing they did was trying to get close by to somewhere that they were giving them flour or bread. This is not anymore about the seven men and women of World Central Kitchen that perish on this unfortunate event. This is happening way for too long. It's been 6 months of targeting anything that seems moves. This doesn't seem a war against terror. This doesn't seem anymore a war about defending Israel. This really, at this point, seems it's a war against humanity itself. My humanity tells me that, obviously, I don't want to believe that World Central Kitchen was targeted. And probably this was not the case. Because I'm sure they knew our movements. I'm sure they knew our teams. I'm sure they were in direct contact with the different people that coordinate in these situations. But obviously, this seems keeps happening. This breaking of communications keeps happening. Civilians must be protected. Humanitarian organizations must be protected. There are people that have names and last names. There are people that matter. They cannot be voiceless. They cannot be ghosts of wars that don't make sense. We are losing all the basis of what humanity should be there for. If somebody knows suffering, that's the people of Israel. If somebody really understands the meaning of suffering, if somebody should be holding the highest standards of humanity, I would say that's also the people of Israel. I think both truths can live in the same place. You can be a friend of Israel, and at the same time, you can be telling your partner in the Middle East, you cannot be conducting war in such a way. You cannot be destroying every building, every hospital, every school, every university. You cannot be destroying, use the future for decades of more than 2 million Palestinians. And in the process, leaving them hungry, leaving them without water, or what is even worse, you shooting them in the middle of the street in the process of trying to have access to food.